Masculinity is beautifully complicated. Society is attempting to deconstruct it. We are here to rebuild it.
The truth is, every man needs a masculine renovation to become a place of protection, provision, and safety for others. But you need a plan, the right tools, and a crew to help.
Together, we will uncover two maxims of masculinity, the truth of it and the character of it, so that you can withstand the weight of reality and the storms of life.
You are designed with unimaginable ability, capacity, and potential. But do you have the courage and strength to do the necessary work, the hard work of becoming a renovated man?
We believe you do. The time is now, gentlemen.
Let's get to work.
Why are you smirking?
I'm always tempted, man, to jump up and start dancing when I hear that music, man. I don't know.
I love the new music.
Yeah, it's a groove to me, man.
It's a groove.
Yeah, no doubt. What's going on, man?
Doing good, man. Hey, yeah. Guys, it's JT and Anthony here with you.
Yeah, mostly Anthony.
Mostly JT. Anthony today.
Yeah.
No, doing good. You know, hey, this past weekend was kind of cool. We had two guys that are faithful listeners come to Nashville. They work for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And Titans played them. Big Titans fans here, guys. Sorry. I told them thank you for the win.
Yeah.
It was just a preseason game. But yeah, anyway.
You got some great shots of us winning.
But they took time out of their day to come, and they wanted to meet us. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So thank you, Arturo and Terrence. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. It was awesome, man. They actually found value in meeting us, which still trips me out sometimes.
It's trippy, isn't it? It's
like, it is. I don't... And then Arturo is like, man, it was very, very important for me to get a chance to meet you guys. And he's another one. And I don't know that you know this, but Arturo's pretty active on the Facebook page. And we hope that y'all will be. But I remember the first time that he posted, and he posted some stuff that was a little bit revealing and honest about what he was struggling with. And I just felt the urge to call him. And I'm telling you guys, these relationships, man, if we'll just follow those urgings to reach out to guys, man, the relationships that we end up making, man, they will be so important in your life. But we just have to reach out of ourselves and reach into other people's lives.
And they were responsible for getting us on that TV show in Tampa.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're going to be back on
at
some
cool.
point. Yeah, it's going to be cool. I think I'm going to go down and be in studio. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're a big shot. You should.
Well, my son lives in Tampa. I don't know if it's a big shot or I just want to go see my son.
I mean, you know guys with single engine planes and stuff where you can just go jump in.
Yeah, well, you know. it's all about relationships.
So, Facebook group?
Yeah, speaking of Facebook group, hey, listen, that's there for your benefit.
Yeah.
We kind of call it a virtual band of brothers. You know, but it is there for you to ask questions, you know, to see what others are going through. Because this community of men that we're building is important because sometimes, for some, it's the only outlet.
Yeah.
Because they don't have physical friends or they're not known or whatever. So this is important in that sense. And our hope is that you see the value in that and then you actually go get physical friends.
Yeah, because the Facebook group can be kind of like a training ground.
Sure.
Teach you how to be open, teach you how to listen to other people, show you the value in hearing different ideas, disagreeing. It'll even show you how to disagree with people without being a douchebag about it.
Yeah.
I mean, because we don't all agree within the group. I mean, we have moments where we're completely on the other end of things, but men need to know how to do that and not, you know, be overwhelmed by having a different opinion in your face.
Yeah. There's some guys I know that when they post something, I'm not going to agree.
Yeah. That's probably intentional on their part, too.
I know. I love it.
So we have Facebook, and then we have Instagram. A cool thing about our Instagram account is that you can literally go back to episode one, to actually before episode one. You can see episode art about what our dream was and what we were hoping to do. And you'll get the chance to see episode art because every episode we do, JT does a different piece of art that describes what the show is about. And so that's interesting. And you can go back and look at those and figure out shows that maybe that you want to get caught up on.
Yeah.
So that's a good purpose for the Instagram. The website, we're going to have kind of some outlets to be able to be a part of our Patreon page. It's going to be a place where if you have people that would make great guests, that they can go and fill out a kind of informational, a precursor that we're going to be placing there. What else, JT?
Well, I mean, also the Instagram is, you can direct message us there. I get several direct messages, and we're continuing to build, right? So we'll have other things going on the Instagram. We want to do maybe some live feeds, more videos, more reels, more, you know, things like that. So
yeah. And then the last thing we wanted to make a pattern of making sure that we're introducing ourselves every episode and that we give a little bit of background from time to time on who we are. So I'm going to do that real fast today, and then we're going to get into the show, because today we're going to talk about perseverance in masculinity. But I am Anthony Flemons. I am the husband of one woman. I have three children, two with my wife and I, and then we have a stepson. They are all currently in the house. So those are several episodes that we can go through me dealing with that. I am a guy that has lived a pretty colorful life, and I've been on the criminal side of things. I've been on the careless side of things. I joke about myself that my picture was in more police cars than the police officers' own kids at some point, because they were always tracking me down. But that's a little bit about me. And right now I work in the hospitality business, and that's me. And yeah. JT?
Yeah, JT here, husband, one woman, 31 years. Even though the longer we're married, the more she looks like my daughter. I'm starting to look older, and she's not changed. It's a privilege. You know?
No doubt.
Anyway, five kids. Two of those are adopted, and I tell you that just because of that's part of our story.
Sure.
They are my kids. They're not, I don't treat them any differently.
Right.
And three of them are older. They're out of the house, and then we have two left. You know, my background is I think every man should do this, use, as we call it, the dark days of the soul. Some pretty heavy darkness in my past that I've walked through, speaking of perseverance, persevered through. And I use those lessons to help guys walk through crises in their life.
Yeah.
And I do that on a daily. Well, I'll say it this way. It's rare that weekly I'm not talking to a guy, as one friend calls me, the ledge whisperer. I get them off the ledge. But crisis, that's believe it or not, I love it.
Yeah.
I actually love helping guys in crisis and coming to think clearly of where they're at. So I do that on the weekly. I'm a men's coach. I work with Stephen Mansfield. I'm a men's pastor at the church at Bethel here in Nashville. And yeah. Oh, and I do some building on the side.
Yeah, a little small project you're doing right now.
A little small project, which on the Facebook group I put it, you know, it's actually a very large project. It's about a 17,000 square foot house. I call it the boutique hotel. That's what it is, really. But anyway, that's what I do. I love what I do. And yeah.
So I'm just going to say I give up, since we're going to be talking about perseverance today. So I already give up. I'm not even willing to persevere through this particular episode.
The last episode, we started talking about character, and we talked about integrity and courage. Are you in a good mood today, by the way?
Yeah, man. Okay, I got some sleep.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about
it.
I'm in a kind of... Confrontational.
No, I don't know if it's... I guess so. I got maybe some pent-up stuff. Anyway, this week... We're going to talk about perseverance.
Yeah.
If we get to confidence and wisdom, that's the five that we mentioned last week. So integrity, courage, perseverance, confidence, wisdom. And there's others we'll talk about in the future, but that's kind of the ones we've been.
And why are we talking about those? Remind them if they didn't hear the other show.
Well, I mean, this is one of the top five that Maxwell says that are the most important. John Maxwell says are the most important. And I'm a big John Maxwell fan. So I follow him very closely, and so that's why we chose these five. Again, there's others, but we chose these five.
And they fall under the two maxims and all of that. I guess we'll talk about those as episodes come and go.
But we're really going to focus on the maxims of truth and character for masculinity, because that's a huge umbrella.
Yeah,
that a lot of things fall under. So just a little bit more focused on that. But speaking of perseverance, now you looked up the definition.
Yeah,
what's the definition? A perseverance.
It says persistent in doing something despite difficulty or delaying in achieving success. Perseverance.
Yeah.
It's got some other words that ring my bell, like tenacity, resolve, endurance, diligence, dedication, all those stuff.
Now, when it comes to perseverance, a couple things come to my mind. One is, you know, I think that guys, at least in my experience, and with me too, so I think all of us do this. We spend more time trying to run around the problem than to walk through the problem.
To face it.
Yeah. So we'll spend so much mind energy trying to figure out ways to get out of this. Like, how do I get out of this? When in reality, the truth is that it takes a lot less time to walk actually through it.
You know what that makes me think of?
What's
I'm
that?
Sorry to interrupt you.
No. No, you're not. But go ahead.
Engine light comes on, and then you go spend $100 to get the engine light turned off rather than going to find out what's wrong with the car.
I don't want that reminder.
You don't want to go through it. You just want to go around it so you deal with it in this sidebar kind of way. And we do that in our lives, but keep on.
Yeah, we do it. Again, all of us do this, but if we would – I think we do it because we don't have the confidence. Speaking of confidence, we don't have the confidence in some outside source that will give us stability. So meaning that, you know, when the realities of life come, when storms of life come, if you don't have something that's grounded, you don't have something that's stable that you can hold on to, then there's nothing to trust. So then you just trust yourself, which can be dangerous.
Sure.
And so that's why one reason why I think that we – again, spend a lot of time running around trying to figure out how to get out of it rather than walking through it.
Is it true, too, that we don't have a track record of success because we've not tested ourselves in so many different areas that we've tried to avoid it, that we don't have like a reservoir of things that would give us perseverance because we've not gone through anything. We've not tested ourselves in different areas because we talked about, you know, jack of all trades and how it's been looked down on. But a lot of times it's good, man, to persevere through a wide gamut of things that come against us because it gives us more strength and more stick-to-itness to go through new occasions when they come up. But if we never exercise the muscle of perseverance, we're always going to feel like we're ill-prepared in it.
Yeah, and I think that our society has gone to – because you know what the enemy of perseverance is?
You told me earlier. So
overprotection.
Yeah.
Overprotection.
Yeah.
So we're in a society that wants to overprotect, which causes you not to exercise the muscle of perseverance.
Yeah.
You know, when things happen, we try to run around it, but we have people telling us that's what we should do.
Sure.
Right? Or they want to save us from harm, which, again, I'm not saying go out and get harmed on purpose. But what I am saying is that we have taken away the thought or the tool of how to persevere through things because we have people wanting to save us from it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like when my kids were little, I can remember, you know, one of my boys climbing up. And this is the difference between men and women, you know, climbing up on monkey bars or whatever. And, you know, my wife says, hey, you know, be careful. Don't only. And I'm like, well, how far can you go up there? You know,
you're
just pushing to explore, to be adventurous, to be. It's just not there because we want. That's why I almost don't like the word safety. I do like it, but it's almost like, you know, well, I got to have my safe place because, you know, I've been offended. Okay, well. Even that language has become so offensive now that we can't even persevere through that. So that's just our society.
Yeah. And we're also getting to a place like even with ourselves or even in the professional setting with jobs and employees or children at schools or playgrounds that we're so busy trying to avoid even the possibility of offense to protect people emotionally when that safety bubble is removed and they're out in society and the normalness of life happens and they are emotionally offended or emotionally attacked or emotionally these things, they have no strength in that muscle to even be able to walk through those things and persevere. So that's one of the things that I keep saying, man, that if we are not allowed to persevere in any aspect of our personalities, especially right now emotionally, we want to protect everybody from possibility of being offended by anything, what they're called or not allowing people to be called different names. And I am not a fan of being bullied. And I was bullied for a particular time in high school. So I know how troubling it can be. But the reality is you're going to leave middle school. You're going to leave high school. You're going to leave college having met those kinds of people, and then you're going to go into your walk of life, and you're going to be in your own family settings, you're going to be in professional settings, communal settings, you're going to be everywhere, and those people still are there, and you are still not equipped to stand and walk through those moments, persevere through those moments of attacks or different types of conversations directed towards you because nobody's giving you a chance. We've all tried to build laws and all these rules to keep people in check, but the reality remains that people are people and they are going to do things that upset you emotionally.
It's a great point. What you rattled off a bunch of areas.
Yeah.
So like work, give the guys an example of persevering at work? What are some things that I would face that I would have to persevere, or I could practice?
Yeah,
persevering.
I don't know, man. Just if I had to think about the challenges that are hitting me right now at work, like some they go in cycles. So sometimes it's my boss. Sometimes it's cost. Sometimes it's getting guests in the building. Sometimes it's all these different things. But I think everybody that owns any kind of business right now are probably facing one of the biggest monsters out there, and that is current reliable staff. Just staff that wants to be in the building, staff that'll come and make the money that they ask for and actually come back the next day and be on time and come in with a great attitude. And it's just gotten to a place where staffing is a constant issue. Like there has been a time, man, that was the last thing you were thinking about. You hired a great team, you put them together, then you could move on to the next thing and build an environment of culture and build all these systems and encouragements to bring a staff together and pull them into the picture that you had and grow a business. And now it seems that about 70% of the time, man, that you are interviewing staffing and then trying to create creative ways to keep your staff and keep them engaged. But the perseverance challenge is this, is because staffing is so limited right now that you are pressed or almost encouraged to not hold the standards that built your business, because you don't want to offend or upset staff because they can just walk out the door and then you're struggling again. So there's this tightrope that we're all walking right now, because we need to have these staff. We need to have employees. We need to have people to run our businesses or be a part of our businesses. And at the same time, we have strong ideas on how we built these businesses and what it means to walk inside this setting, what the culture is. There's things that we do, things that we don't do. There's an appearance that we're going to have, behavior that we're going to have when you walk in. You're going to be able to gather this air. And a lot of people, man, the minute that you stand up to them and go, hey, this is great, but right here, I really need you to give me some added attention because you're lacking in this area. That's enough in this current environment to set people off, because it's like, oh, you hate me. No, it's like those videos where you see the guy is looking in the camera and he goes, hey, my wife just cheated on me. And the wife's in the background going, no, I didn't. That's not true. And he turns around and he goes, well, what did you say? And the wife goes, well, I said that the joke that your friend told was very funny and it made me laugh. And the guy looks at the camera and goes, same thing. You know, we create this our own reality yeah. of what's going on around us, and we make it so much worse than what it actually is. But that's something that we're all having to persevere through. Me personally in the hospitality business is what I'm persevering through. And how do I continue to expect greatness out of my people while understanding that my pool of people is limited? That's been difficult for me.
When did we take the turn from being strong men to becoming soft males? I'm serious. It's like we have gotten so soft.
So let's get in trouble.
Mentally soft, right? I've seen some big dudes, strong dudes that are mentally just jacked up. Soft. Because again, I'm a little astonished a little bit what you just said, that you can't hold a high standard because of you may offend somebody.
Yeah.
When did we become that soft that we can't hold people to a standard? And I'm asking guys now, I mean, check yourself right now.
Yeah.
Are you that soft that somebody can't come to you and go, man, I need you to step up in this area? Or, I've noticed that you are, lacking a little bit in this area. Man, I need you to step up. If you get offended at that, let me just tell you, you are soft. You are a soft male.
A soft male. You know, I think about being in a gym, man. Some places, man, where you're encouraged to actually be strong, like is in the gym. And sometimes, man, if you have good friends and you go to the same gym all the time and people recognize you, you can be doing something, man, in the gym, and a guy will walk up to you and go, what are you doing? If you're in a good gym and you have great relationships. Some gyms, even this doesn't fly in those gyms. They'll go, what are you doing? And they go, oh, I'm working my triceps. And they go, no, you're not. You're working your shoulders right now. Can I show you something?
Yeah.
And like, there's a moment of pushback there, and you can be offended. I know what I'm doing. I've been working out. Or you can go, okay, show me. And just allow people to speak into your lives. And we've lost the ability to allow people to speak into our lives. Strangers are people that we know, or even our bosses, our leaders. We get offended when someone simply walks over and goes, hey, what are you doing? Supposing that nobody really has a better handle on anything than you do. Like, you have the best handle on everything, so there's nothing that you can really come to me. I think that that is what is really at the root of what's going on right now, even with staffing, that nobody's willing to listen because they think that they know the whole picture, even if they just stepped into this business 5 minutes ago.
Is that true? Do you think that's literally true?
I do. I do, man. We
is it because of the information age that we live in, that everybody's got a Google, and so they feel like that they're experts at everything now? And
man, possibly. I think it's got a little bit to do with just everybody's always encouraging our kids, and I do it too, man. You're great at this, you're great at that, you know. But if I love somebody, maybe I need to say, hey, it looks like that these are strong points in your life. But this thing right here is really weak. Like, your public speaking or your ability to really express yourself verbally is not where I would hope it is. But we're afraid to identify things that people don't do well, because we're going to say that we're triggering people or putting people down simply by loving you enough to say, JT, man, that's great, but this is weak over here.
Yeah.
And now it happens so rarely that when someone does it, like, people are just instantly offended. They can't believe that you would come to them and say anything other than great job.
Here's one thing I think.
Yeah.
It's funny that personal growth is huge business right now. Like, you got your Tony Robbins, you got all these people, like, personal growth. But yet, I don't see a lot of personal growth in this area. I don't see, because it's like, if you really want, here's the fact, and I tell guys this all the time. If you pay attention, you can learn from anything. And if you have a personal growth mindset, if you want to build perseverance, if you want to build character, you actually don't care where you learn from. Like, you have this, we've talked about it in the past, you have this curiosity, you have this mindset of, I'm not going to be offended because I can probably learn from you. Now, I may not like you.
Yeah.
But I can learn something. And personal growth is one of my highest values. So why would I reject somebody wanting to help me, even if it's for their benefit? Does that make sense?
It does. It's okay. Like, you have to, but you can't help me in front of other people, though, is kind of the way it is right now. Yeah, I might have enough wisdom to understand that somebody's got something for me, but if you show it to me in front of other people, then it's like you're putting me down. I don't know what's going on, honestly, man.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think it's soft, because in the moment, you know, I would say, especially at work, I mean, you got a fast-paced kind of job,
sure,
right? You got things going on, people coming in. Man, if you don't have the freedom to just be direct in the moment,
you waste a lot of time.
Yeah, and it's like, it's one reason why I love the military.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, these guys have a language that is so precise and so quick, because in the moment, you don't have time.
Yeah.
Offense is out the... That's out the window.
It's just direction.
It's not even a thought. It is absolute, we're doing this, and they are all these code words that, because language is important and time is important to them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We become soft, because in your job, I can't believe that you can't bark out orders in the moment.
Yeah.
But you got to think about, okay, how do I say this without being offensive?
Yeah.
Or how do I do, you know, all the time wasted because of soft people.
Yes. And I'm gonna shock you even more. It's not that I can't bark out, because see, barking went away like 10 years ago, like all of this, because and it's been a progression of the way that I and my style of dealing with people. So not even a bark, just a simple turn and to go, hey, don't do that, will you do this? Because some moments just call for that. Hey, can you not do that? Will you do this? And even in those moments, and it can be just as benign as that, I'll walk around a corner, and this is cool, man, as you've been a leader before. You know, everybody needs to create a common enemy, man, so they can all gather together against that enemy. And when you are the leader, traditionally, it's you. But I'll say something just as benign as that. Can you not do this? Will you do that instead? And I'll walk around the corner and somebody will be talking to somebody else. Hey, Anthony just yelled at me and said X, Y, Z. And, you know, in my head, and I know in their head, they know that it was a very simple request. But I don't know if we internalize it and turn it into a yell, but everything, every moment of correction, like we're not willing to persevere even through the challenge of being taught or the challenge of being corrected to be made better. But I want to back up, man, because I can stir the pot right here and get you going a little bit. I think I can. But you asked why, you said specifically men, we're getting so soft and we're getting so this. So let me tell you something that I think. I don't know that this is a reality, but I think. So all of us, generally speaking, the most important woman in our life has been our mothers. Even in my life, man, where I feel like that there was a ton of abuse and I at the hands of my actual mother, she was still the most important woman in our lives, in my life. And I just think, man, you know, as we progress as men and as a culture and as masculinity, man, we can look back and be honest about the times when women were like held back and pushed down and not appreciated and not given the same opportunities as us and the same rights as us. I mean, you can look back. It's just there. It's just there, and they weren't appreciated in the same way and treated as only sex objects and those kinds of things. So there's taken this swing, and we understand as men that we need to adapt. So we've gotten to this place where we want to look and look at those things honestly. But also that pendulum, to me, has swung all the way over to its extreme, and it's creating a thing. And for this purpose, there's a bunch of definitions for it. I'm going to call it a feminized male. And it is, in my opinion, when I say that, it is a man that more closely identifies with the struggles and downpourings and down pushings of women to such a degree that they are not even able or willing to understand themselves because they can't see their own needs and opportunities and proclivities and positive demeanors and all this kind of stuff. They can't see it anymore because they're so overwhelmed by identifying with all these things that have been true at some point and even at some level are true now. So you said, why are we so mushy and weak? I think that culture is really pushing against men to identify more closely to all these challenges that we've created as men for women, that men are now just solely focused on that and refuse to focus on anything that we perceive as used to be masculine or something. I don't know.
So I could go off the rails right now so bad because for one, I completely disagree with women used to be sex objects like back in the day.
Yeah.
Right. There's no, it wasn't until the 60s and 70s that women became the sex objects that they are now.
Preach it, man.
Because that's when, again, a little history, you know.
I'm nowhere you're going.
Yeah, it's you know, that's when the sex revolution started.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we can be anything we want to be. We can do what we want to do. That's where it began.
What's that doctor's name, though? Remember? That did the study on sexuality and all that stuff.
It was Dr. Kinsey, and he came out with a report and basically changed the way that we look at sexuality. That report basically said that we are sexual from birth.
Right.
Now think about that.
Even babies.
How do you know that? How does he know that? He knows that because to get that data, he literally had pedophiles and people in prison do things to children for that data. Now, how gross of a mind do you have to be to do that? But that report began the thought of, oh, yeah, we're sexual from birth, so this is, and guess what come out of that report? So guess who was a big fan of Kinsey?
The Playboy guy.
He said, I'm going to be the pamphleteer, and he started Playboy.
Yeah.
Okay, Playboy, you talking about women as sex objects, that's when it started happening. So you want to go back to the 20s, 30s, go back to our history. It's like we think, and again, I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. Men's mentality was not, I'm going to dominate my woman.
Right.
It is in our DNA to protect.
It is.
It just is.
It is.
And it's like, no, I believe we actually honored women more back in the days.
Yeah.
I think that we honored them more because men worked their butts off to protect and provide for their family.
Sure.
And it's, so I'm not in agreement.
Yeah.
I think now men have put women in a worse position now than they did 100 years ago.
Yeah.
But yet we're softer. So
perseverance. And so you were just asking, you know, where does the softness come from? I don't know, man. Is that where some of the softness is coming from? We're over-identifying with the needs and the past mistakes that we've, as men towards women, and now we can't, we're not even permitted by culture to consider ourselves. So we need to understand and explore that softer side of ourselves only.
Yeah, and I think it's come from, I mean, we've talked about this, and this is the fatherlessness and single motherhood, you know, being high. And again, that's not taking anything away from single moms, because I mean, you had a single mom.
Yeah.
I think they do the best that they can, but man, not having the dad, that part of, you know, see how high you can go, boy, you know, not having that voice in the house, I think causes guys to be more feminine in the way they think. And that's just, that's not a dig. It's just a, you know, we talked about two umbilical cords, right? You have to cut. The one's the physical at birth.
Yeah.
But then there's this emotional umbilical cord that a mother has with her son.
Yeah.
Or daughter too, but we're talking about boys, that if they don't cut it, it just continues on. And that's where we get the term mama's boy.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, man, you're attached. You got, and your mom, typically, we say fathers, you know, you have a father wound. That's a typical, you know, that he's not there emotionally. He's, you know, abandonment, mm-hmm. you know, he's harsh, blah, blah, all that. But a mother, you have a wound too, but she wounds you out of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out of, you know, for the most part.
Accommodating, smothering, being in situations that she shouldn't be in.
Overprotective. Yeah. Typically, women are more overprotective than males are. And that's in a general, that's a general statement, but it's true. And so you have to cut that cord, because as long as that cord is there, you're not going to persevere through things, because we're talking about perseverance. And but I do think the fatherlessness is at the root of the soft male. I absolutely do. And again, there's other tentacles that come out of that.
Yeah,
for sure, in society. But I think that's the root of it.
So other areas, we got off on a tangent, and then I tried to take you down a rabbit hole, and you won't go with me.
Mm-mm.
So other areas.
Now, let me say this too, because I had this thought. We all have seasons of softness.
Sure.
Like, I believe right now, if I'm going to be just genuinely authentic, that I'm in a season of some soft areas.
Yeah.
That I'm not even showing myself that I have the mental fortitude to walk through it. It's almost like in these certain areas, I just want to stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to run. I don't want to walk. I just want to stop. And I've spent some time in the last weeks at a stop. Like my wife would call it stuck. Like, you're mentally stuck. So I'm having to battle in my own head, because it's like when you know too much, that's when, because I know too much, right? I've studied. I know it all. I'm not a know-it-all. I do know how the mind of a man thinks and works. And it's like, I know the right things to do, but to do them is totally different.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of guys who have felt this. I've talked to them, and I'm in the situation now. It's almost like I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. It's almost like I just want a time of rest from the way that my mind works. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it's like I'm in a place of being stuck in certain areas.
Yes.
Again, I know too much. I know how to get out of it. I just literally don't want to.
It's funny, man, these pictures that come in my mind, man. And you are always asking, you know, how'd you come to that? But just these pictures come to my mind of my past. I remember driving from Texas all the way down to the tip of Florida trying to catch a cruise. All in one drive, man. And a lot of that coming through Texas, man, when we have ice, like, it is everywhere and you cannot avoid it. And I remember driving hours and hours in iced over Texas highways, but knowing that I couldn't stop because I had to get there to be able to board this cruise, or we weren't going to be able to go on the cruise. And I remember pulling over at a rest stop just to get my mental focus back, because I had been persevering and struggling and going through and not seeing the end of this ice, and sitting on the side of the road at that rest stop going, do I really want to get back on this freeway?
Mm.
And that's the picture that I see even for you right now, man, that you've pulled over, rightly so. You're tired. you've gone through some things that have been treacherous and dangerous, so you're pulling over to the rest stop to take a rest. But perseverance is cranking that car, getting back into the fray, pulling up on that ramp, getting back into your little trail through the ice, saying, I'm going to go ahead and risk it all again because I have somewhere to go and I need to get into this dangerous place, into this dangerous kind of travel and begin to move forward again. So perseverance is that decision that you've said, I'm going to get off the sideline, I'm going to get away from this, pull off the ramp because I'm stuck, like you say, your wife would say, and get back into this travel. As treacherous as it is, I have to get back in because it's important, the place that I'm going.
Yeah, and I think that's the key is, it's a purposeful trip. You have a point to where you got to get because that's important to you. And I, you know, for me, you know, this past couple months has been transitional. So I've transitioned a lot of things
professionally.
In my life. And, you know, I've talked to our therapist, we go to the same therapist.
Yeah.
you know, it's a loss. It doesn't matter if it's a promotion, because I would say it's a promotion.
Sure it is.
But yet leaving a level of authority in the organization that I worked in, I was the person that everybody came to with their issues.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't get wrapped up in an identity in that, but nonetheless, I was the go-to guy.
Sure.
So now I don't have that as much.
Man, that's so interesting.
So that's a loss. Right. Now, I'm enjoying it, by the way. Right. I literally like not knowing what's going on right now.
Yeah.
But yet it's still a loss. And I still have the same level of authority, so to speak, not in position, but in people's lives. I mean, I'm still here.
Sure.
I'm still around. But man, it's a loss. And I've watched it. And I've thought about this. Even I was thinking about this last night. I've watched it kind of trickle down in other areas of my life. And again, I'll get out of it. I won't stay stuck forever, but I am stuck. So I'm thinking through these things, and I'm thinking through them so that I can help somebody else. Because that's I'm always thinking when I'm going through something, I have to do this a certain way. Even if it's wrong, I'm going to do wrong right in a sense that, because I want to. It's like I almost want to feel this so I can have some empathy with a guy going through it.
Sure.
Now, I don't do this on purpose, by the way. I mean, it's just a season. I mean, I tell myself that this is a stuck, this is a stuck season, and I'll get out of it. But it's, man, I'm telling you, it's, I can imagine other guys listening going through that going, man, I'm the same way. So you got to sit down and figure out why you're stuck.
What's the end game too? You got to figure out where you're going.
Where am I going? And is where I'm going big enough to get me out of the rut?
Yeah, you got to know your why is the way the book was written.
Yeah.
You got to know your why.
And I got a lot of big whys. I mean, I don't have a lack of vision in my life. That's one thing I don't lack.
Sure.
But man, it's just the hard work of doing it. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do, you know, putting your car and drive is not very hard, right? But man, we make it bigger than what it is.
Absolutely.
It's like, man, I don't really want to do that. Or I don't want to go apologize to my wife. I don't want to, you know, tell my kids, hey, I shouldn't have yelled at you. I don't want to go to the guys and go, man, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I acted goofy. Sorry. You know, I don't want to do it. And I don't know if I don't think it's lazy. I think I do think it's mentally tired.
Yeah.
Man, that's okay to be in that spot. I'm, you know, again, I'm not, you know, because one thing, and this is where the fraud, you know, where you feel like a fraud.
Yeah.
Because I've dealt with that. It's like, man, here I am, you know, this men's leader and do what I do. And you can't even get unstuck. I mean, that voice, man, is loud. And again, it trickles down to health, how I deal with my finance. It trickles down to everything, how I parent, how I'm a husband, how I'm a friend. You cannot help it.
This is good.
Because it's like you can't have integrity in one area and a lack of integrity in another area. No, you have a lack of integrity in all areas.
Yeah.
We lie to ourselves. I used to tell that to myself all the time. So, well, I'm good at this. I know I'm cheating on my wife. But in this area, man, I'm really good.
I'm a superstar over here.
Yeah, it's like, no. You're an idiot in all areas because you got to go to the lowest common denominator. So, anyway, I don't know how we got on that. But I am going to persevere through this.
Yeah.
I'm going slower than I want because I'm, you know me, I can be very driven and very focused.
Yeah.
But it's for some reason in this season, and it's my age too, by the way. So I had a good friend pass away a couple weeks ago, 66 years old. So I've been thinking, if that's me, I got 12 years. And that's been kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's been
absolutely.
It's hit me a lot more than I thought, because I thought that would make me go faster. Like, okay, I got to get, and it probably will at a point, but it's like, I don't know what it's done to me mentally. It's like I'm being honest here. The other day, like, I was driving and a car came over and into my lane a little bit, and I'm sitting there going, well, I guess this is it, like, well, and here's the honest truth.
It's this is great, JT.
I wasn't that sad about it. Isn't that terrible?
This is great, man.
I wasn't that sad about it.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not looking to leave the earth. Trust me. I do have a lot more things I want to accomplish, but sure. I'm just saying those voices are real.
Yeah.
They're really real. And those are the kind of things that I feel you have to persevere through.
Yeah, man. Real life.
Yeah. The mental, again, that inner fortitude, that mental capacity just to do the next step the right way. I'm not, again, I'm telling myself these things because I, there's nothing worse on a project than no work being done that in a day.
Sure.
I mean, it's like you want something going on every single day because you want to get done with this build, right? Yeah. So I tell myself that I have gone for a couple of weeks now without a lot of work being done. And now I'm getting frustrated with myself, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm getting pissed at myself. And maybe that's what it takes for us guys to really, look in the mirror and go, okay, I'm not in the shape that I want to be in, but am I going to get sick of the shape that I'm in order to do something about it?
And does it take going and getting help? Going and talk to it and getting a different point of view, because it's so encouraging for me, man, that like literally I would never have dreamed that you would be able to feel like loss in that. But I'm wondering, was it helpful as you discussed it with your therapist? Was it helpful in discovering that? Did you already have that idea before you went and spoke to him? So that's one of the values in getting other people's perspectives that can look in without a dog in the fight and go, I bet that feels like a loss.
Yeah. Did I? I'm not sure that I've verbalized it that way. Mm-hmm. I've read some leadership books on even promotions.
Yeah.
Even promotions create a loss because you got to let go of, even though, again, it's a great promotion, there is that sense of loss. And so is the risk of that loss worth the promotion? I mean, some guys don't take promotions because of the responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. And I can't believe that, but I've read articles that they don't do that.
Absolutely.
So, I think I had somewhat, but I just never verbalized it in that sense.
I remember a time, and I've talked about this on another episode, but the time you ruined something for me, man, in a simple statement that you told me, you said, man, at this point, we got to realize that we have more life behind us than we have in front of us.
Yeah.
I mean, you pissed me off when you said that, man, because I've never been able to shake that.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of getting to a particular age where literally you have more years behind you.
Yeah.
Than you have in front of you. And you were talking about, being stuck. A lot of times, too, we have to get with friends and go, hey, what's it look like? What's it look like over there in Florida, where we get on the boat? How's it going to look when I get ready to take that cruise? We need to know what the end destination is to give us encouragement to persevere through what we're currently going through. And that's the value in having men in your lives that are younger than you, same age as you, older than you, and being honest enough to go, man, I'm having a struggle staying motivated to keep going through this ice storm because there's several hundred miles of it. But what's it going to look like when I get through this? Help me with that, because I need to be encouraged to persevere right now. And we have to be honest with men around us. So if we had one key, I would say that we have to know what it looks like to that place that we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
That's one of the valuable tools of perseverance. The other is taking those moments to persevere through smaller challenges, because if we're always going around, like when David had to face Goliath, he looked at him and I know he figured, man, if I just ran real fast this way, I could get around this guy. But at some point, he looked at him and he said, but I'm going to have to face him. It's my destiny to face this particular thing.
Yeah.
And he went and faced it. And because he did, he was able to persevere, and it trained him how to persevere for the next thing. So we have to have these small moments of perseverance to create confidence in ourselves and confidence in our belief systems to be able to persevere through the next one. Sometimes we need vision on what it's going to look like. Sometimes we need practice at persevering. So even these small challenges that we go through, get in the habit of facing it. And especially you mentioned like shape and getting in the gym. There's a thing about going to the gym. It's hard. It's hard every time. If it's ever easy, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
But you go and you do it hard because you know that the payoff is you're going to get in better shape.
Yeah. And that, again, having that vision of the payoff or the goal or whatever, I think is important. So as we land this plane or attempt to land this plane, there's a difference in landing and attempting to land. You know this.
Yeah, because I've been around pastors a lot.
Yeah. You know, we talked about work. And let me just run through these things real quick because I want to hit several areas. So you talked about work, which could be persevering through everything we talked about.
Sure.
If you're a single guy, you know, a single younger guy or a middle-aged guy, whatever, you know, persevering through that being alone, not having a companion.
Yeah, aloneness.
And
yeah.
Do it because I think you have more opportunities to persevere through things because you don't have maybe somebody, a significant other that, so you're having to do things right without the accountability of somebody living with you, mm-hmm. looking at you going, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, so I think that, man, what an opportunity that you have to build that up. So when you do, if that's what you want to do, get married or have a significant other, you know, that man, you've done the hard work as a single guy. I wish I would have done that. I was goofy. I didn't take those opportunities to persevere. So, and then the other is marriage. You know, a lot of guys, you know, and I hate this, that the divorce rate is so high. And it's mostly because not persevering through the seasons that come that are tough. So we start listening to the voices that say, you know, the search for happiness, which is, you know, a never-ending search. But we don't persevere through the tough times. And we start saying things like, man, it'd just be easier to get out of this. Again, all the time spent thinking about running around something than just walking through it, staying stable. And on that, and I'll end on this, you know, as you go through you're facing the realities of life or the storms of life. We've said you got to hold on to something stable. I mean, that's a worldview, really. And that, my worldview is through my lens of my faith.
Sure.
And so I can't trust and have confidence in something that it isn't bigger than me. Like it's got to be something bigger than me. It's got to be something bigger than you. It's got to be something bigger than my marriage. It's got to be something bigger than a career or money or all, because we search those things out. And you know, I'll never forget Tim Johnson, who will be on this podcast. He'll be one of our guests. He won the Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins, and he was a defensive end. And I remember him telling me the story of, there he is. He won the Super Bowl. Him and Freddie, our friend Freddie Stokes, carried Coach Gibbs off the, you know, if you look at the pictures of Coach Gibbs being taken off the field, that's Tim Johnson and Freddie Stokes. Sitting in the locker room by himself, said, is this it? Is this what I worked so hard for?
For so long.
For so long. And the realization that when he quits, somebody else is going to get his number and they're going to slap that last name on that jersey. And it was just the realization that what he'd been chasing, it wasn't the outcome that he thought it was going to be. It wasn't the feeling he thought he was going to have, right? Now, again, he enjoyed it, enjoyed all the things that come with that.
Sure.
But it was like that journey, that search, that, you know, the discipline that it took and all that to get to that, it just, the outcome wasn't what he thought. So it's all that to say, it's got to be bigger than even that.
And all those skill sets that he accomplished and achieved chasing that particular goal down, they've still been helpful in his life too.
Oh, absolutely. He continues to use those things.
Yeah.
But my faith is what grounds me. That's why I know that I actually can persevere, because I've been given an example, right? And if you don't have an example of something, it's hard. That's where fear comes in.
Yeah.
Right. But I have an example of how to persevere. I have an example of how to get unstuck. I have an example of how I should love my wife, how I should parent my kids. How I have that example because of my faith.
Sure.
And guys that don't have that, I literally don't know what it's stable.
I don't know what is unmovable.
Sure.
Right? But I think God, all of us have got to get something that's bigger than yourself that you can put the stake in the ground and go, this is, when the storms hit, I know this is not moving.
Yeah.
So that's an important thing to get into check. And that's a great question to ask yourself. Do I have that? Because if you don't, when storms come, what happens? You go wherever the wind blows. You have given up control to the storm and you don't have control. You're not in control anymore.
Yeah.
So guys, take this perseverance, man, this is a big deal because it will set you up to be successful in all areas. Like I said, everything trickles down. It is absolutely true. Everything trickles down. So when you do the right thing, when you persevere through the tough times, that trickles down. That's why Anthony said so well that, man, persevere in the small things. Do the small things, persevere through them, do the right thing, whether it's at work, single, married, whatever. Look at the small things that you're not doing well or that you're avoiding.
Yeah.
Or that you're stuck, and persevere through the walk through it with that inner fortitude. I love that. I love that word, inner fortitude, that it takes to get where you want to go.
It's an old fashioned saying too, inner fortitude.
Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah. It just sounds manly.
You know, as we close out, and I just want to encourage you in a thing, and I'm going to start doing this every time, but as this episode closes, man, I wish that you would really just go over, log in, if you're on Facebook, go and join the group and just post, say, hey, man, I just listened to XYZ, and JT, that episode, JT said the most foolish thing. Just be sure to say that, you know, and let them know that what JT said was so off the rails. And then in the same post, you can talk about how I was so on point, man, and I just made such a eloquent, you know, comment, and it really helped your life, because that's the reality of kind of what happens here on the show. So just go to the Facebook page, join that group, man. There's a lot of guys on there hoping to hear from you, and we have about 70% lurkers. Like when I look at the statistics from it, about 70% of the guys that are in that group, they sit around and I can see when they click and when they look, but they don't ever comment. But go over and do that. Go and look at our Twitter account, go and look at our Instagram account, find some episodes that you might like, listen to it in the past, go and subscribe and listen and rate our podcast, because it's very helpful.
Yep. All right, guys, that's it. Persevere. Learn to persevere through the little things, because that's a part of renovating masculinity.
Renovating Masculinity is a Wise Company production and is hosted by JT McCraw and Anthony Flemons. To get connected with other men looking to build right, join our private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/renovatingmasculinity. And find us online at renovatingmasculinity.com or on Instagram at renovatingmasculinity. To support the show and our mission to help men rebuild, head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/renovatingmasculinity and take advantage of some great rewards. Until then, we'll see you on the next episode.